Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord of the feast, you have prepared a table before all peoples and poured out your life with abundance. Call us again to your banquet. Strengthen us by what is honorable, just, and pure, and transform us into a people of righteousness and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
May be seated. Shay, would you carry the Bible?
Isaiah. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. For you have made the city a heap, the fortified city a ruin. The palace of aliens is a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong peoples will glorify you. Cities of ruthless nations will fear you. For you have been a refuge to the poor, a refuge to the needy in their distress, a shelter from the rainstorm and a shade from the heat, when the blast of the ruthless was like a winter rainstorm, the noise of aliens like heat in a dry place. You subdued the heat with the shade of clouds. The song of the ruthless was stilled. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, a rich food filled with marrow, a well-aged wine strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 23 responsively. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want.
The Lord
may restore my soul, O Lord, and guide me along right pathways for your name's sake. Prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is running over.
Surely, goodness,
glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second reading is a reading from Philippians. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I also ask my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is any worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Word of God, word of life.
Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, "The wedding is ready, but those invited are not worthy. Go, therefore, into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet." Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. He said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, "Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." The Gospel of the Lord. This is one of the parables that is told in both Matthew and in the Gospel of Luke. And the versions are quite different. This was told right the week before Jesus is arrested in Jerusalem. And there's great tension. And in parable after pointed parable, Jesus tells of the great disappointment in the non-acceptance shown him, especially by the chief priests and the Pharisees. Matthew's version of the story puts the emphasis on the exclusion of those who rejected the invitation. And the Pharisees and the chief priests, the them to whom this parable is addressed, can feel Jesus poking them in the chest. Well, you might feel like so much poking being done too, but listen for the grace. Listen for the invitation. Most of us would probably prefer a parable that ended in abundant harvest, like the parable of the sower, or in great joy, like the parable of the treasure that's found in the field. But these last weeks, we've been getting parables that end with statements like, "The tax collectors and the prostitutes will be getting into the kingdom of heaven before you, and the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to those who produce good fruit." Well, we might think that this parable is just one more about exclusion and judgment. It is also about inclusion and grace and participation. The Reverend Tom Shaman rewrote the first part of this parable in a poem called The Reception. In his off-the-rack tux and too tight shoes, Jesus fidgets at the door, glancing at his watch every few minutes, always surprised that an hour hasn't passed since the last time he looked, peering once more down the road for signs of the stretched limos. Back in the kitchen, steam roiling around like cumulus clouds, Spirit mutters to the sous chef, her breath sending the chef's departee, fluttering around, checking sauces, keeping salads crisp, banging lids and turning down flames, doing their best to avoid her look. Having polished the flatware for the 100th time and centered the arrangements for the last time, Abba sighs behind the bar, watching the fluted champagne flatten minute by minute. Throwing the bar towel down, the long sufferer stomps to the back door and flings it open, hollering, "You cardboard box dwellers, you dumpster divers, You panhandling pariahs, come on in. There is plenty for all. Bring your buddies. Now, in Luke's version, that's where the parable stops. But Matthew adds this piece about an underdressed guest who gets tossed out on his ear. Well, tossed into the darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. This seems to be an odd addition. What did the king expect? If you're going to holler out the back door and tell people to come as you are, how can you expect them to be wearing the right clothes? No one walks around in a wedding robe just in case you get invited to a banquet. Some scholars say that the first century wedding practices included not only the two-part invitation that we heard in this parable, kind of the save the date card that comes a couple months in advance, and then the invitation on the day, but you would also receive the gift of a wedding garment. As people entered the courtyard for the wedding feast, they would be given a festive robe and be invited to participate in the celebration. A few weeks ago, Taco had a fundraiser dinner, and it was a tropical theme. My brother happened to be in town visiting, and I invited him to come along. And he said, well, I'll go as long as I don't have to wear a tie. And I said, remember, we're in San Diego, and it's a tropical theme. I think that shoes might not even be required. So as we entered the, it was at the Southwest Yacht Club, and as we entered the yacht club, every guest at this fundraising dinner was given a Hawaiian lei to put on. And I think that even the grumpiest of curmudgeons would not refuse to participate in the party fun by wearing the lei. Well, that's what happened with this man at the king's banquet. He refused to participate. That's what got him tossed out. There's really no way to understand this story without knowing the background. Matthew's writing this story to a particular community. He wants them to hear this story that Jesus told in a particular way. Why were so few people responding to the invitation to celebrate Jesus, to celebrate with God's Son? The prophets had invited them, but some had killed the prophets, those first slaves that were sent out to tell the people to come. Then in 70 AD, Jerusalem was overtaken by Rome, and the temple was destroyed, burned to the ground. What the king did to the city of those people who refused to come. And then, mostly through the efforts of St. Paul, the Jewish community of Christ's followers were extending their invitation to the Gentile believers. And this second wave of believers didn't have that long history of the law and rules about that the Hebrew people had. And so there was dissension in that community between the Jewish believers who had known God forever, and we're still trying to figure out what it meant to have freedom in Christ. And then those latecomers, the Gentiles, who acted as if grace gave them the permission to live any way they wanted. They lived the all are welcome and nothing is required to its full extent. And it was to this conflicted community that Matthew is writing this gospel for. And he tells this story in this way to say, no, that's not what Jesus intends for us who accept the invitation to believe.
being an invited guest does not mean you can do as you please. Being invited at the last minute doesn't mean anything goes. Listen up, people of God, Matthew says. You've been invited to a feast of the King. Participate. On the one hand, this story has nothing to do with us. We don't have that kind of situation that the early church had, and so it really doesn't apply to us today. But on the other hand, it has everything to do with us. Every week, we get an invitation to come to this feast of the King. We get an invitation to participate. But as you can see, there's still some room at the table. Some of those invited guests are on the soccer field this morning, or in front of the TV getting it warmed up for that Chargers-Raiders game, which doesn't start until 1 o'clock, but, you know, can't lose your seat. Still some others are probably still in bed, or maybe just too busy today for church. But here we are, and not necessarily because we're better than they. Remember in the story, the slaves were told to gather all who they found, the good and the bad. It just so happens that for our own good and bad reasons, this is the invitation that we decided to accept this morning. But like that underdressed guest, some of us are here without thinking too much about it. Maybe it's just habit that brought us here, and we really aren't participating. We too have refused to change, refused to surrender our fears and our resentments, refusing to share our wealth, refusing to respect the dignity of every human being. These are the old clothes that we're wearing to the King's feast. Refusing to participate, refusing to put on the wedding robe of new life. The underdressed guest thought the King was just looking for warm bodies to fill up his banquet hall. He was happy to eat the King's food, to listen to the King's music. He felt he was doing the King a favor by being there. Well, here's the good news. God's not looking for warm bodies to fill up space at the table. God is looking for wedding guests who will participate in this feast given for his son. And we can do that in flip-flops and board shorts, as well as in suit jackets and ties. We know that this is not at all about the fabric of our clothes. It's about the fabric of our being. It's about participating in the life of the community, in justice and forgiveness, in loving kindness and peace. It's about participating, not just showing up. Put on Christ. Put on the life of Christ. Participate fully in the life of the kingdom and in this wedding feast. Amen.